that the Lord would just bless and give us all a good time in Him.
Amen.
And all. And just remember to pray one for another. Pray for all of these that are sick among us.
Amen.
And pray for the sick ones around the world.
Amen.
And the things that's taking place. Because we can do that. We can, amen, pray for those people. And the prayer to the Lord would bless. Let's do that. So we're glad to have Brother Aaron with us to minister unto us this evening. So let's, amen, just sing, "Open the Eyes of My Heart," as he comes forth to minister the word of the Lord. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
You love him?
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see him.
Amen.
I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing,
holy, holy, holy,
high and lifted up, shining in the light of
your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. To see you.
Amen. Amen. He said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name,"
amen,
said, "I'll be there in the midst." So,
amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight. And good to be here. Good to be,
amen,
with all of you that are watching online.
Amen.
But I know you're not with us physically, but you know, you're still with us.
Amen. Amen.
So, am I okay? Everything sound all right? So, well, God bless you tonight. We're going to look into the scripture and want to, as Brother Terrence was saying, there's many that have needs and many sick. This is from Sister Barbara. Says her niece in Denver is quarantined at home and caring for her disabled father-in-law, two daughters, and a grandchild. So y'all just remember all of them out there. I know that's a rough, and I don't know if anybody has said, but I do want to say thanks for my mom. And I know she's, you know, if you don't know, my dad's at home now, and you know, that's a big order for anybody, and taking care of, you know, home health and everything is coming in, but mainly most of it falls on mom and my sisters. And I know mom appreciates the prayers, but just continue to pray for them. And dad has some, you know, there's a transition thing going on, but there's also a lot of some medical issues going on too. And, you know, we just trust the Lord and just continue to believe that the Lord will do what he started. And, you know, he shouldn't be here with us. And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, we look at the wrong things, but you know, you think about my mom shouldn't be here with us either. I mean, you know, they, you know, the doctors told my dad, you know, you need to make her funeral arrangements. Well, she's still here with us. So, you know, he's the same yesterday, today and forever. So I know mom wants to thank everybody and all of y'all for praying, and y'all just continue to remember them. And, I think Brother Ike LaFontaine, like they said that he had the virus, and that's Brother Paul's brother. And so we just want to remember him.
Amen.
And I don't know. I know there's others that they had mentioned, some overseas, whatever.
Well, one of Brother Joe Coleman's daughter died in New York.
Really? Okay. Brother Coleman's daughter passed. So let's remember the family there, but many other ones. And, you know, I want to pray for all the, like my wife and all the ones that go to work every day that, you know, the ones that are fighting this. And, you know, that's a big order that, you know, they have to go into that. And I think about Sister Ruth and Sister Amy and all the different ones that, you know, they go in, all the doctors and the different ones that are having to, you know, fight that. So, but you know, God's a healer. God's a comforter. God's in control. And so I just want to thank the Lord for that and thank for us being healthy. And also remember, I want to remember Levi also. Levi's had a sinus infection and they put him on some medicine and he don't seem like he's getting any better, but it's just all sinus stuff. And you know, nowadays, this time of the year with the sinus infection, you know, people just start freaking out now because if you sneeze, people start getting worried. It's like, well, if it's allergies, I mean, you know, but, that's just the time of the season that we're living in. But, you know, we just know that the Lord said his angels would be about us, protect us. So, you know, we just, do what we ought to, wash your hands. And, you know, Paul said to greet each other with a holy kiss. And, now it's been regulated to, give everybody the holy wave. So we're just going to wave at you, you know, but try to follow the rules about all of that. Just staying away from, you know, everybody and, you know, remembering what you may carry it. You know, some people are not mindful of that. You know, you may not get sick, but that doesn't mean that you don't spread it to somebody else that will not be able to fight it, to be able to get sick. So, you know, just like any other, you know, the flu or any other type of virus that can be passed from one to the other. So we just want to remember all of them. But thank the Lord that we're here tonight, and we're going to look right into the scripture. And y'all just pray for me, and we're going to look here in the book of Ruth and look in the first chapter of Ruth here. And I'm going to speak a little bit about gleaning. And, you know, I heard somebody say something the other day, and, you know, I just end up getting this little thought that I want to speak on tonight about. It's called, where and what are you gleaning?
Yeah.
And, you know, what you glean, where you're gleaning is what determines what you're gleaning. And so, you know, determining what we're listening to, what we're feeding on, and those type things. And, in certain instances, and without trying to get into too much, but in certain instances, we have people that, they get into this situation where, you know, they either think that they can get it all themselves and they don't need any help, or they have this Catholic mentality. We're just going to look to a person that we're going to get everything that we need from them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to strike a balance in all of that. But, you know, it's just something I want to look at tonight and, bring it from the scripture. But, let's just all bow our heads and we'll, speak to the Father. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening. Lord, we just thank you for all your blessings on us. Lord, that we're able to gather in this time, Lord. Lord, there's so many that are sick and afflicted, Lord. Lord, so many that are worried and scared. But, Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, that you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but you gave us of power and of love and of a sound mind. Lord, we know that you're the Prince of Peace, and, Lord, you've given us peace. Lord, that passes all understanding. And Lord, you give us an assurance in this hour, Lord, that no matter what comes our way, Lord Jesus, we know that nothing can come unless you allow it, Lord. And Lord, we know that we believe in that angels that are protecting us, that are around us, Lord, that you said would guide us all the days of our life, Lord, that would be with us. And Lord, we just pray for each one. Lord, those that are sick and afflicted, Lord, the families, Lord, that are affected, we just pray that you be with them and touch each one. Lord, for the ones that are watching in tonight, Lord Jesus, I pray that you be with them, Lord. Lord, as they gather and listen, Lord, and just anoint their minds, Lord. Anoint their ears to hear, Lord Jesus. Lord, that they may receive something from you tonight, Lord, and just anoint me to say what I should say, Lord. Lord, just give me the words that will be edifying, Lord. And Father, we just commit all things to you. Bless your bride around the world, Lord. And we know that whatever we have need of, Lord Jesus, you can come and meet. And so I pray, Lord, Lord, for those that need a physical touch, Lord, if it's a financial touch, whatever it is, Lord Jesus, I know that you'll come on the scene and you'll meet it. And Lord, we just give you the praise, the honor, and glory for it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Ruth chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 12 and save a little bit of reading here, but most everybody kind of knows the story. So and this is Naomi, and she says, "Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if I ought but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they went, they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass that when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." Said, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. And then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me." So Naomi returned, and Ruth with the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So, most everybody is familiar with the scripture, but you know, when there was a famine that came in the land, and Naomi's husband, Elimelech, and their two sons, you know, they wanted to go where the famine wasn't, where they had thought they'd have a better life. And, you know, they decided to go into Moab. But, you know, you can't go outside the place that you're supposed to be. And you know, the homeland is where the children of Israel were blessed, and you couldn't go outside that and be blessed. And, right. And you know, they went out there and you know, they were there, I think, around like 10 years. And, you know, we know that Naomi lost her husband and she lost her two sons, and, you know, all these things happened to her. And then, you know, when all these things had happened and, you know, all this affliction that came upon her, then she decided, you know what, I'm going to go back to the homeland. And, you know, lots of times those things happen to us. God wants us to be in a certain place. Well, if we decide we want to go out, well, then, you know, these things happen that come our way, that we get afflicted with things. And, you know, hard times come our way and things go wrong. And but, you know, God is leading us back to where he wants us to be. And, you know, there's a place for us to be. And, you know, God sent them back, and then she went in. But, you know, she was so tore up about what had happened, and, you know, she could just see her situation. But, you know, in all of this, you know, there was something about Naomi, that must have been something about her, that Ruth saw something in her. You know, and, you know, when she saw that, but, you know, she had seen something in all that she didn't want to leave Naomi. She wanted to follow her. You know, there was something that drew her to the earth, and she didn't want to leave her. And, you know, Brother Branham says in the message, an ensign, And he's speaking of Ruth. And he says, and notice the inside was lifted up. Beautiful picture here in Ruth. And he said, maybe you think you read Ruth as maybe a little love story in the Bible, which it is. Oh, what a beautiful story of representing Christ and his church. How Naomi went back over into the land of Moab, and there her husband died, her two sons died, leaving widows. On the way back, the beautiful picture, Ruth, listen, Ruth the Moabite, a Gentile, carried away with dumb idols like we were. And when it came time, Naomi kissed her and said, go back to your people, and with your people, I'll go alone. But she said, let your people be my people. Let your life, let me live where you live. Let me die where you die. Let me be buried where you are buried, and let your God be my God. Beautiful picture of the young Gentile church coming in by the old Jewish church. The Jews had packed the gospel first. He said, oh, how marvelous. So we know that, it was a type of the truth, the word being brought to the Gentiles. But, you know, she went back and followed her. But, you know, there was something that was drawing her back. And we know that Brother Bram talked about, you know, it was the Holy Ghost bringing Ruth to the place that she ought to be. You know, there was a place that God had for her, and God was bringing her to that place that, you know, and, you know, so as she was coming into the place where she ought to be, and, you know, Naomi came back. But, you know, Ruth had a great love for Naomi, and to see there was, you know, that she said, where your God, I want that God to be my God. Right. Wherever you live, there was something that was about her that she wanted to follow the same thing.
Right.
And so when she went and they came back into the homeland, she said, you know, she was there and coming back, and, you know, here is a type of the believer coming back, because we know through history that, as it says, the Jews carried the gospel to the end of the Gentiles, and, you know, here they are receiving salvation. And, you know, that's the first thing that you have to do, because, you know, there's the four steps in, or the four areas of Ruth's journey that we look at. And, you know, the first one is her making a decision. And, you know, and so, you know, she has to make that decision, and, you know, we all have to make that decision. And, you know, there comes a time where all of us have to make a decision what we want to do. And, you know, there was a man years ago, was a man that was, a brother was speaking, and he was talking about, you know, the things in life sometimes aren't big decisions. And he was preaching about, you know, Gary Cooper and the movie High Noon. And, you know, you're building up to this great crescendo, this great, gunfight, you know, and it just keeps building and building and building. And he said, sometimes, you know, it doesn't come that way. Sometimes there's just slight things that come along our way, and we don't take time to, we may think it's just a minor decision that has to be made, but sometimes we don't pay attention that, you know, that's actually a major decision. And sometimes we don't pay attention that, you know, we can overstep God's bounds, or we can overstep the Holy Ghost speaking to us, because we don't realize that it's such a major event. And sometimes we look back and it's like, well, you know, I didn't listen to God, or I didn't pay attention. Well, that's the reason sometimes it pays for us to take every decision that we make and try not to make our own decisions, but take it back to God and let Him lead us, and say, you know, all our decisions, you know, we try to make them in ourselves. Well, sometimes we may make the wrong decision, and the problem is God's trying to speak to us to let us make, you know, to let Him make the decision to tell us what we need to do. And, you know, He wants to lead and guide us. He said, you know, if we seek the kingdom of God first, He said, then all these other things will be added to us. So if we just seek God and let Him lead us, because we know if we're just like sheep, then we have to have a leader. We have to have a shepherd. We have to be led. So that's what we need. We need somebody to lead us through these things. And, you know, so I don't want to try to make any decisions on my own or think that I'm smart enough to lead myself, because I know I'm not. I know I can't make any decisions. I can't make this journey alone. I have to have somebody to lead me and guide me and carry me through. And that's what He said that He would do. So you know what? I just want to rest on Him. I just want to put my confidence in Him. And you know, even in these dark times and the way the things are going and the economy and, you know, the sickness and different things like that, you know, I'm so glad that when I wake up in the morning, I can confess what the Bible says. You know, if I look at my situation sometimes, you know, we can get a little discouraged. We can get down, but you know what? I go right back to the scripture and know that He's in control. And you know, I can put my confidence in Him and I can go to Him for what I have need of, because I just want to live the life that He has called me to live. And you know what? He's called us to live a life of overcoming. He wants us to be happy and free, and we don't have to be bound and worried and confused about things. Why? Because we have the ability to walk in the light of the Word, in the fullness of the Word. And you know, we can over raise our hands and be joyous and happy and praise God because of what He has done for us, and not worry about the world and how things are going. And you know, people are getting all stressed about things. And you know, you see people nowadays, people are all into things like preppers and you know, all these different things that people want to do. Everybody's trying to prepare for apocalypse and the end of the world and you know, everything going wrong. And you know, like years ago, everybody wanted to build a underground shelter, and you know, everybody's going to learn how to live off the land, and you know, everybody's going to buy up all the ammunition and all the guns, and everybody wants to learn how to be Rambo and all this kind of stuff, you know, because everybody's got to have something that's got to fill this need, because there's such stress and anxiety that build up with people because they don't know where to stand. But you know, if you can come to the place that you can stand and rest in God, you know, then you don't have to worry about tomorrow. But you know, the thing is if we come to that place, you know what? God didn't tell us that we couldn't store up a little food or, you know, or do these type of things. I mean, that's a smart thing to do. Have a little money set aside or all these different things. But you know what? To the place that, you know what? Storing up rolls and rolls of hand sanitizer and 100 rolls of toilet paper ain't going to help you. It won't do anything for you. But you know, some people, they have to feel like they're in control of something. So you know, they gotta buy up all this stuff, and you know, they sit on all this stuff, and they think, well, you know, I've got all this, and this is going to give me comfort. But you know what? It doesn't do you any good. It won't change anything. So, Ruth here, and Naomi coming into the land, the place where she had to leave all these things behind her. Right. You know, this is the only life that Ruth had ever known. You know, this was the land of her birth, her family, everything that she had known was right there. But you know what? She had to get up and make that decision if she was going to leave all of that behind and go to a place she'd never been before. To see people she didn't know anything about. You know, Brother Branham said at one time, he was talking about Ruth going into a land, and you know, she was going to a land that, you know, she didn't fit in. And you know, she was kind of made fun of because of being a Moabite. And you know, because a Moabite was an outcast. I mean, that was a type of person that, you know, the Israelites didn't want to really associate with. And here she is coming back into this land. And you know, she had to give up all of that, but she wanted to come into a place that she didn't want to leave Naomi. She wanted to come to this place because something that had, you know, and I'm sure that she had been told about, you know, about these things. So she wanted to go to this land that held something that was more than what she had in Moab. And you know, here she is going into this land, and as she's traveling and they come in, and we know they come in in the barley season, which is, and you know, Pentecost. And you know, Brother Brown said, you know, that is Pentecost because that's when the Gentiles church came in, was at Pentecost. And yeah. And here they come in, and when she gets there, you know, Naomi decides, you know, Ruth tells Naomi, you know, I want to go work in the field. Yep. And, you know, and the scripture says, you know, that she just kind of like happened into the field where they were that she would gather and take care of, because, you know, Naomi, I'm sure she was getting up in age and everything, but you know, she wanted to take care of her mother-in-law. She said, you know, I'm going to gather food from us, and you know, because that was a type of the law there, you know, that you could dig, and when they made the harvest, then you know, the rest was open for everybody to come and take of, you know, the poor and everything could take part of it. And so, you know, here she is gathering out of the field, and you know, she's just gathering. And as she's gathering, and as she comes through there, you know, the Bible says that, you know, that she would just kind of happen into Boaz's field. But Brother Ram said, you know, the Holy Ghost was leading her the whole time that led her into the field where she ought to be. And, you know, and she was digging and she was gathering up out of the field. And, you know, as you see that she's out there gathering up of the harvest and picking up what was left. And, you know, in the midst of all that time, here come Boaz to her and began to speak to her. And, you know, because he first asked, you know, who is this damsel, this maiden in the field? And they said, well, that's the Moabite woman that came back with Naomi. And, you know, it was something that struck Boaz that when he saw her in the field, that what she was doing. And, you know, then he began to expound. When he began to expound to Ruth, you know, he said, I understand what kind of person you are because you've taken care of your mother-in-law. You know, even when you could have went back and you could have went away, but you are still here in a foreign land and all these different things and facing this ridicule and different things. And here you are taking care of your mother-in-law. And, you know, then when Boaz comes to her, he says, you know, don't you worry about anything. But he said, I want you to stay in my field. He said, this is where I want you to stay. Amen. And he said, as the reapers go along, he said, I want you to gather with the reapers. Right. He said, I want you to stay with the maidens that are in the field. And he said, you make yourself at home here in this field. You don't have to go anywhere. He said, when you get thirsty, you go drink the water that the young men have drawn. And he said, you stay right here. And he said, you stay here and gather until the harvest is over with. You right. just continue to stay right where you're at. And he said, you know, he said, I've commanded the men not to bother you. You just to go wherever you want to. And then Boaz tells the reapers and he tells the young men, he said, you don't let her, you know, you don't worry about where she goes. She can go among the sheaves and she can gather. And he said, and you drop handfuls of purpose on the ground and she can gather that. And you just let her go wherever she wants to. And he says, if you get hungry, he said, just go and eat. And you know, he said, he even gives her corn and all these type things and lets her do what she wants and everything in this whole place. And then, you know, here's Ruth, and then she, you know, she falls on the ground and she says, you know, how did I become such in such favor with you, being that I'm a stranger in this land? And, you know, and he said, because of what you've done, and he said, what you've seen, hey, because of what we've seen of you, he said, I want you to be here and I want you to take care of these things. He said, I want you to be taken care of. And, you know, it's, you know, so we know how the story is laid out, but, you know, I want to look at a few things because, you know, it takes you and I, we can't just rely on just one person or, you know, waiting on the fivefold ministry or, you know, we can't just stand there and say, well, you know, I can get it all myself. I don't need anybody. I just don't, you know, listen to tapes or whatever, you know, I just get it all myself. And, you know, years ago I heard a man say that the reason he didn't go to church was because that, he said, well, Christ is outside the church. And he said, I'm on the outside with him. He said, I'm on the outside too, because, you know, God, he said, Christ is outside the church. They put him out. He said, I don't go to church either. And a brother, you know, he said, well, you know, he said he was knocking. He was on the outside, but he was knocking, trying to get back in. He said, I don't see you trying to knock, trying to get back in. But you know, everybody's got their own ideas about how things ought to be. And you know, they want to pick and choose their own scriptures. But you know, the thing is, God has given us a place to be. And you know, it is the Word. And you know, that's and Brother Ram said that was a type of the Word, was that field. Right. and drawing the life out of that field. He said it was eternal life coming out of that field. And that's what, and he said that's what the reapers were laying before Ruth for her to gather, that she didn't have to go some other place, but she could be right where she was, that he had, that the Holy Ghost had led her to this place. And you know, brothers and sisters, if in, in your journey, you know, the Holy Ghost is what leads you to wherever you go. It takes the Holy Ghost to lead you. And you know, because you know, it's the grace of God that calls us to repentance. And you know, we don't call ourselves, we don't go seeking God, but it's God seeking us. But God brings us to a place that God wants us to show where we need to be. And God has placed us in a place that we can feed on the Word. And you know what, and so wherever you go, it has to be in the Word. Where does the believers gather? Where does the eagles gather? They gather with the Word. They gather in the Word. They gather where the carcass is. So that's where we have to be. But it, God has placed us in a place that we can feed on the Word. But the thing is one thing that takes place is you and I must dig in the Word. It takes laboring in the Word. You know, as you know, they were laying handfuls of purpose there in the field for Ruth, but you know what? She had to go out there and she had to get out and had to pick it up. She had to gather it. It wasn't that it was just somebody give it to her, but she had to be in the field digging for herself and gathering for herself. And you know, and so when those things come to be, he laid out Boaz left this thing open and made an invitation for her to have free reign and all these things. And so, you know, the Word has been open to us and we've been given an invitation to get into the Word and dig. And you know, the thing is, it's not just reading about it or waiting for somebody else to bring it to us. But you know what? Those reapers, those angels that are there in the Scripture that are coming forth, bringing the Word. And he said, how about the angels that have come tonight in this building or wherever you are listening to the Word, that he's come to bring you the Word, for you to bring you whatever you have need of. Those angels are there to minister to you. So if you're standing here tonight or sitting at home, wherever you may be, and you have a need, then you know what? You just wait on those angels to bring you what you have need of.
Right. Amen.
Sometimes I think, you know, we don't realize what condition that we're in, what takes place when we gather, where two or three are gathered in my name. And you know what? It doesn't matter that you may be 100 miles away. You know what? If you gather in his name, then it doesn't matter what the geographical location is. So if you're at home and you're listening in tonight, if you're gathered in his name, then it doesn't matter. There's only a handful here. That doesn't matter. It's whoever is gathered together with him that's work, you know, that's binding together, that we gather together in the Word, then he can come and speak and you can receive what you have need of. Oh, if we could just open our eyes sometimes.
God,
open our spiritual eyesight.
Right.
And man, I tell you what. You know, Brother Bram said, you know, he never wanted to leave that dimension. He said, oh, when he got into that dimension, right, he said, how much, you know, you never want to leave.
Right.
And he said, when you're down here in just your normal life and everything, he said, that's one thing. But he said, when you get into that other realm, he said, oh, he said, it's so wonderful to be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said, you never want to leave it. And to know that he's there with us. And you know, he wants us to be with him.
Right.
And you know, if we can just, you know, we have our lives and things that go, and you know, we just have to do things. But you know, if we can ever get to that place where we can always be mindful of him, and you know, the story I always like is where General Jackson was talking about, the man had wrote him a letter and was asking, he said, you know, that scripture in the Bible where it says pray without ceasing, he said, you know, I find that so hard to live that. You know, he just said, I just don't understand that. And you know, General Jackson wrote him back and he said, oh brother, he said, listen, he said, it's so wonderful. He said, everything that I do, he said, I don't even open my mouth to take a drink of water. And he said, unless I give thanks for it. He said, I don't open a letter. He said, unless I pray to God before I open the letter to prepare me for the contents. He said, I don't drop a letter in the mailbox. He said, that I don't pray for the recipient of this letter. He said, when he taught at Virginia Military Institute, he said, before I go before the cadets, he said, I pray for them that God will help them. He said, that I can be the kind of instructor to them, but they can receive what they have need of. And he said, oh brother, he said, as you were going to take a drink of water, he said, you automatically open your mouth.
Yep.
He said, your mouth will automatically open. You don't have to think about it. It'll automatically open. He said, that's how instant it is for him to pray.
Glory.
He said, it was so ingrained in him. He said, I can't. He said, just opening his mouth, that almost unconscious thought, he said, I'm praying to God and thanking him for the water.
Right.
And so, many times, if we can get to that place, that we can thank God for everything that we see and everything that goes on, and we can talk to the Lord. Why? Because he's right there. But sometimes we walk right past him, or we don't even pay attention that he's there with us until we need him. Or, sometimes it's maybe late in the day or whatever. Sometimes we get tied up with things, and so sometimes we miss God that he's right there with us. And he's such a gentleman that he stands there waiting for us to make time for him. And it's like, well, Lord, I wish I could talk to you. It's like, well, I've been waiting on you. I've been right here all day waiting on you just for you to open up so you can speak to, so I can speak back to you. Sometimes if we just sit still and say, Lord, what would you have me to know? What would you like to say to me? Because, prayer's not just talking, prayer's listening.
Right.
Prayer's communion. And so it takes communion, that's two-way travel. That's two-way communication. So, many times people want to sit down and they want to pray, well, I'm going to pray for 45 minutes. Well, you need to spend another 45 minutes just waiting to see if the Lord's got something to say to you. Because sometimes people, they just want to do all the talking and they are concerned about how things go, and we ought to have a plan and know how things are going to go. And like, Lord, it all go this way or that way. And it's like, Lord, how should things go?
Yeah.
What should we know? And how we just look to you and say, Lord,
right. Give
us the direction we need to go, or what needs to take place. Because, sometimes when we pray and, As Brother Dale said many times, we want to pray for certain things in our lives. Well, God's going to give them to us. And we say, well, Lord, give me patience. Well, When things come our way, we don't want patience. We want them now. Or we have things that happen in our lives, and we want to overcome things in our lives, and we want to change things. Well, The things that come our way, that it's like, well, Lord, I don't want that. Well, that's what you prayed for, and that's what's going to bring you exactly what you want. Anytime that anybody that's ever played sports, I know Brother Wade has, and different ones has, played sports. Well, they always tell you, you have to give 110%. You got to give 110% no matter what you're doing if you want to get good at it. And there was an old saying that many times people always said, he said, don't practice something until you get it right, but practice something until you can't get it wrong.
Yeah.
But you got to keep on practicing it. And the thing is you've got a coach there, and that coach is going to be there, and that coach is going to find out exactly what you don't have right.
Yeah.
Improve on, and that coach is going to get up there and say, this is what you need to work on. You don't do this right. You need to fix this form or whatever. And And they get out there, and that's the one thing that you got to do, whether it's, batting or whatever, that one thing, whatever you do wrong, it's like, that's wrong. And even if you're talking about a boxer, they know your weaknesses and the thing, and whatever it is that you don't do right, whatever your stance, or your form, whatever it is, that's the one point that they're going to work on you all the time. And sometimes they put somebody in the ring with you, and that's the one thing is because, you drop your, instead of keeping your hand up all the time, you're guarding yourself they put somebody in the ring, and that's all they do is wait on you to make that mistake. As soon as you drop your hand, and they just keep doing it. Well, after a while, you finally figure out, keep that hand up.
Right.
Whatever it is, and many times people go through things, and you work on exercising and all that, and you're wore out after practice all day, and next thing let's run some sprints, because we're going to give, because you wore out, you're winded and everything's like that. And it's like, no, now it's time to, we're really going to start burning energy, really. And then it's like, when you get done, it's like you're just dragging along. But you know what? That's what it takes. It takes that extra that you have to keep giving. And you know, you keep practicing on the things that you don't have right. And that's the thing that goes, that God sees in our lives, whatever has to be done. And you know, those are the things that God wants us to work on. And that's the things that come our way that God wants us to fix. And God wants to mold us into His image. And when you're like, you know, why do these things keep happening to me? Why? Because God wants you to become a better person. Because He wants to mold you into His image. And this is what's bringing you to that place. It's like, well, they wish they could, you know, bypass all that. Well, you know, that doesn't work that way. But God has brought us to the place He wants us to be. You know, just like when you have trials and problems and everything like that, you know, when you overcome them, then, you know, you don't go through them. But, you know, if you fail that trial, you know, you got to go back through it again. Right. You fail it, you go back through it again. And so, you know, many times it takes a while. And, you know, so it takes us going back to that place and saying, Lord, what is it going to take for me to overcome? And when lots of times it's to the point we get to a place sometimes in our lives that we realize, you know, it's not me. Sometimes it's what it takes is us surrendering to Him. Amen. That He can come on the scene and then we can overcome. But as long as many times we don't want to surrender what we need to surrender. Because we get to a point where it's like, well, you know what, Lord, we're going to give you 80% of it. 20% is going to be mine. Or 90% and 10%. You know, I'm going to hold on to a little bit. Well, you know what? That's still not going to be right, because until you give 100% to Him, then you know what? You've not overcome.
Right.
It takes 100%. It takes a total dying out to yourself and a total surrender to Him. And you know, that's why it takes so many times that people get into so many things and they don't overcome. They get into positions. Why? They've not got to a place where they've surrendered.
That's right.
And so, you know, the thing is, as Ruth came into this field, you know, when she come into this field, you know, Boaz told Ruth, he said, don't you have your eyes on any other field. He said, but keep your eyes on the field right here. He said, keep your eyes on the reapers. And he said, you follow the reapers through the field. Because this is the word of God. And he said, those are going to be people that are coming through there. And he said, you follow them and they'll bring you to the place that you need. They'll give you the things that you have need of will be in the word. And you'll receive it. And so, you know, many times people have, you know, they want to do their own thing, or, you know, they have their eyes on other fields. But let me tell you something, if you're going to live on the Word of God, if you're going to receive the Word of God, then it takes a total dying out. It takes you staying in the place that God has placed you, and it takes you staying under the headship of the Word that can bring you to the place where you ought to be. Because if Ruth had her eyes on all the other fields that were out there, that wasn't the place where she ought to be. You know, because if Ruth had come along the way and she had her eyes on all the other fields and all the other places, then you know what? She might have missed Boaz when he come to the field to meet her. Why? Because she had her eyes, she was out of position. And you know, the thing is if we want to meet God, then we have to meet Him on His place. He called a place for us to meet, and that was under the Word. Under the blood is where we're supposed to meet. Under Christ is the place where we come to so we can meet Him. And that's where He's going to meet us. Under the shed blood of the Word is a place where He wants us to meet Him. And if we get into that field, then He said He would lead and guide us into all truth. And so here we are, if we come into this field and we gather where the Word is, and we stay where the angels are. And not only is the angels, you know, speaking of the heavenly angels coming, but you know, we've had an angel in our day. We've had a prophet in our day that come to bring us the Word. So, you know, we don't have to worry about where we ought to be. Why? Because He brought us the Word, because it was Christ speaking to us through a person, through a man come and spoke to us, and it was the Word. Why? Because we can have confidence in the Word. We don't have to worry about naysayers or anybody saying, well, Brother Branham was wrong here, he was wrong there. But you know what? He was vindicated by the Word, and He spoke to each one of us. And you know what? It becomes a personal revelation to where you ought to be. You know, I don't worry about what everybody else says. You know, they're okay. You know, they can do whatever they want to. But you know, the thing is, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Why? Because it becomes a personal revelation. You've got to put your stake down. You've got to drive it down. It's got to become real to you to know what you believe, where you're going to stand. It's not what everybody else believes. It's what you believe. You've got to come to a place to see Jesus Christ for yourself. He said, if you don't see Jesus Christ, if you don't see Christ in every verse, go back and read it again. If you don't see Christ in your life, then there's a place where you can come to that you can find Christ in the Word, because He's going to lead you and guide you that you can see Him. And see, everybody talks about, if we're in the field, if we're in the place, in the Word, then you know what? God brings men along the way to help us. You know, that's what struck me about Ruth. You know, Boaz tells Ruth, he says, listen, he said, you stay in the field. This is my field. He said, you gather wherever you want to gather from. This is all mine. And he said, you go along where the reapers are. And he said, as they're gathering, he said, they're dropping handfuls. So they were giving her more than what she just had to gather up off the ground. But there was something that was being left for her. So there was something left for us. In our day, there was something left for us. Why? Because God come and give us something in our day. You know, because there was something that was given in every day, in every church age. There was something given, but there was something given to us in our day, something given to you personally in your day. When Brother Ram talks about the bride, when he talks about Ruth and he talks about the Gentile bride and everything like that, and then he goes back and he talks about it being the personal believer. You digging in the Word for yourself, you're going to find what God has for you. But you know, he talks about the young men that are in the field, and he said, these young men, they've drawn water. Here they are helping in the reaping process. Here they are all in the field working. And he says, I've commanded the young men not to harm you, not to touch you, not to harm you, not to plague you, not to harass you. Here they are, and they've come into the field, and here they are, and they're a blessing to you, and they're here to help you, and they're here to watch over you, and you gather with the other women in the field, and you're working, and you help yourselves to whatever you want. Now, what struck me is because many people, they want to come into the Word, they want to get into the Word, and they want to walk a Christian life, and they want to see things, but the problem is they get in here, and they're worried, and they're stressed, and they're filled with anxiety about different things. And you know what? They don't have faith. They don't have a place to rest in the Word of God. Because if you know what? If you have confidence in the Word, if you have confidence in God, then God will lead you. And God will lead you. And you know what? He can speak through a person to you. And you know what? Because so many people are so concerned about, you know, trying to get into the Word. But you know what? If you get in the Word of God and you trust God, then God will lead you and guide you to the place where you ought to be. And you know what? God will show you where you need to be. And one of the things that people are so concerned about is whether they, you know, whether we ought to have a fivefold ministry, or, you know, we're just going to follow the prophet. Well, you know what? The prophet spoke that there would be a fivefold ministry in the last days. You know, people always talk about a return ministry. Where is the return ministry? People preach on a return ministry. Well, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I believe in a return ministry. I believe it's a fivefold ministry in the last days that's bringing the Word for the return of Jesus Christ, to bring Jesus Christ back in flesh. Why? Because the fivefold ministry bringing the Word is going to perfect the saints. That's exactly the prescription that was given in our day for us to receive the Word, for Him to come to us, that we can be called away. Why? Because it takes us, it's got to be the Holy Ghost speaking through somebody. But you know what? God doesn't work through fear. God doesn't work through anxiety. God don't work through all confusion or anything like that. But you know what? If you can trust God that He can speak through one man, that He can speak through another. Why? Because it's the same man. It's the same Holy Ghost that birthed these men into this age. And not only, but he said it was a group of men called in every age. That was the voice of many waters that was speaking the Word that came through with those men. So if you and I have confidence in the Word of God that He's the same yesterday and today and forever, then there was a group of men that was called as Peter and Paul was called and John and the different ones, and He called all the ones through the Old Testament, you know, through the church ages, you know, all the different, it just wasn't the church age messengers, but they were other men of God that were called through, that God spoke to, that God used to bring the Word all the way through. He just didn't call seven men to bring the Word, but you know what? He called a group of men in each age that was called of God to bring the Word and to perfect the people for that age. To bring them to the place where they ought to be. Well, then you know what? God's called us to do the exact same thing. That we don't have to worry about being confused. Why? Because the Holy Ghost inside of the fivefold ministry that's speaking through Him, it's not just a man speaking, but it's the Holy Ghost, and it's the Holy Ghost on the inside of the believers, inside of the church, the laity, that's going to hear the same thing. And you know what? It's not me trying to give my word or trying to give my idea, but it's the Holy Ghost speaking, and it's the Holy Ghost on the inside of you speaking and listening and agreeing to it. You know, we don't have to be worried, and you know, it's so, I hate to say silly, but you know, it's so sad to see people in this condition where they're so wrapped up about things, and you know, and God's trying to get people to understand that if He called you and He's led you this way, and He's, you know, and He's trying to bring you to a place of adoption, if He's trying to bring you to a place of the new birth, He's trying to birth you into the body, all the ways that He's brought you, if He can do these things, then obviously He can speak through a man. Well, you know, I got all the confidence in the world in Brother Branham. Everything Brother Branham says, I say, yes, sir, amen, hallelujah. Except where he mentions a fivefold ministry.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. Well, how are you supposed to have confidence in what God says if you can't put your confidence in all that God says? If you can't trust everything that God said, then how are you supposed to believe? How are you supposed to come to a place where you need to come to? But God's called us into this Word. He wants us to dig into the Word and have confidence that God has called us to this place and showed us where we need to stand. And you know what? We can dig in the Word. And you know, it doesn't take just me. It doesn't take just Brother Dale or what or whoever, Brother Wade, but it takes every person working together. God has called each one of us, and you know what? It takes you. You've got to read the Bible for yourself. You've got to pray. You've got to listen. You've got to feed on your own and wait for God to speak to you. And sometimes, you know what it takes? It takes those type things that people are feeding on that God can bring the Word to us. Because, you know, we're just like those young men in the field. We're just there as servants.
Yeah, right.
That's, you know, we're not to be the hierarchy over everybody and rule with an iron fist and you know, and try to beat everybody down and keep everybody under our thumb.
Right.
Because God's called us to be led by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The church isn't being led by the pastor. The church is being led by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If you know, because if we say, well, you know what? I don't understand why Brother Dale does such things. I don't understand. Well, you know what? You need to pray to God and find out.
Right.
You know, lots of times people ask questions like that and they say, well, I don't understand that, Brother Wade. I don't understand. You know, and the problem is you know what? They don't understand everything that Brother Dale knows. And sometimes, you know what? God don't tell me everything. God don't show me everything. So you know what? It's not my place. Why? Because I ain't the pastor.
Right.
You know, some people, they get so wrapped up in things and they get to a place where they start to cause more problems. And I'd say, you know, sometimes I think, well, thank the Lord, these certain people ain't the pastor. Because, you know, if He's ordained of God to lead us through, then you know what? Then He's been called to a place. And you know what? God has prepared Him for that place. He's called Him to that place. And you know what? And God's brought Him to that place that He can bring us to the place where we ought to be. But you know, everybody's like, well, I don't know. And you know, we got all these people. Well, we're just going to sit home and listen to the tapes. Yeah. We're just going to do our little thing. And you know, we're so wrapped up in all these things, and we're just so involved in all these things. And you know what? And then when you talk to somebody, you know what? They don't know split peas from coffee grounds. I mean, you see people's lives. Well, you know, where is the growth? Where is the manifestation? You know, the thing is where are you growing? Where are you manifesting? Where is the showing of God in your life? And people don't see that. But you know, if you stay in the light and in the Word, you know what? Then your life ought to start manifesting something. And because sometimes it takes people don't want to look in the mirror of the Word and see where they've grown. If they're matching up, do they not see how far they've come? And do they see that they've grown any? Because you know, the thing is if you stop at one spot, if you get hung up on one spot, if you don't, you never grow past that. And we see people, you know, you wonder about them. Or do they have any growth in their life? Has the Lord spoke to them?
Oh, yeah. Right.
But God wants us to stay in the field.
Glory.
And dig in the Word.
Right.
And God has prepared something for us.
Yeah.
And you know, for us to continue to gather. And as we gather in the Word and we feed on the Word, then you know what? It brings us to the place where we ought to be. Because you know, as we saw Ruth, she kept gathering and gathering all day long to the evening time. She was out there gathering, continued to gather. But then there came a time, you know, when at evening when she left the field and she went out and then she went. And Naomi told her, said, you know, now's the time that when they go to the threshing floor, because that's where Boaz is. And you know, she went there at dark after everybody had went to sleep and everything. And then she went down there and laid before Boaz in the threshing floor. You know, she laid there until he woke up and realized she was there. And you know, then he spread his skirt over her and, you know, and he was, you know, he told her, he says, you know, that he spoke and saw what she had done. And then she continued because she was looking for something. She had a desire that she wanted to receive from him. And you know what? Then he said, you know what? He said, Naomi's inheritance has to be redeemed. And he said, you know, she has to be redeemed also. And you know what? She continued all the way through following the Word. Until she came to that place that Boaz came before the elders and he took off his shoe and he said, you know, now I'm coming to redeem you.
Right.
I'm coming to fulfill everything that has to be done.
Right.
And you know what? It takes laying in the Word because that's what's going to bring you to the fullness.
Right.
That's what's going to bring you to the fullness is you stay in the Word.
Right.
You know what? You see people and, you know, if you start out in justification, if you're at justification, then where you need to be is in the Word.
Yeah.
That's what brings you to the Word is when you come to God, when you get saved, if you're just at justification, you need to stay in the Word until He brings you to sanctification because what brings you to sanctification is the Word.
Glory.
That's what's going to bring you to the next stage. What's going to bring you to the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the Word. The Word is what sanctifies you. It takes the Word. That's what's bringing you to the place to be filled by the Holy Ghost. That's what it takes. It takes the Word and you have to stay in the Word. And many times, you know, it's getting under a ministry that can lead you and guide you and teach you the truth because the problem is we've got people that, you know, just because you're a preacher or whatever, you know, that doesn't mean that you can lead anybody. And I'm sorry, but there's some, you know, that, you know, I just, you know, it's kind of hard for me to have confidence in them. Well, because we know that there's some that, you know, they're not in the Word.
Right.
And you know, how, you know, somebody's got to come that way and know what they're talking about to lead you that way.
Right.
And it takes that kind of leadership that somebody's going to lead you through. And you've got to stay in the Word and to come to that fullness, to come to the place that God has for you. We need to follow with God that He can be with us and He can carry us all the way through.
Glory.
We have to worry about the different things in our lives. God's going to bring us through.
Amen.
God has called us to a place.
Right.
And I thank God that we have a place here. And people say, why do you say those type things? Because you know what? I believe it.
Yeah.
You know what? If I didn't believe the Word was here, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
You know what? If I didn't agree with the Word, then you know what? I'd be gone.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
Because you know, I believe this is what God called me to.
Right.
You know, have I finished? No, I'm not finished.
Right.
But you know what? I believe I'm standing in the fight. I'm still running the race. I want to still be fighting. I still want to be in the Word. I want to be found faithful in the Word, digging in the Word, gathering what God has for us, the purpose that He has laid out for us, the Word that He's laid out for us. I want to be faithful in that and gathering what I need for this journey, because that's what it takes. Because it takes bringing in, laying in the field of where God has called us to. And you know what? You can have confidence in God where God calls you to. I don't mind listening to tapes. I enjoy listening to tapes. I believe in listening to tapes. But you know what? I believe in a fivefold ministry too. Because you know what? I can stand in the field. And you know what? Because if the Holy Ghost is leading you, then you know what? The Holy Ghost will tell you whether something is wrong or not.
Exactly.
You know, there's been times in my life where I've heard things and, you know, it just stopped me in my tracks. It's like, I didn't understand, but I knew something wasn't right. And you know what? You hold on to that for years. And you know, then all of a sudden, God will show you exactly what the truth is. But you know what? God catches your attention. Well, sometimes people just go right on and just, you know, they just scoot right over it and scan right over it and they don't even catch anything. And it's like, well, what is it that God's not showing these people things? And it's like, well, you know, I just got confidence in Brother Dale. It's like, well, you know what? That's good. I got confidence in this brother over here or whoever else. Well, that's good. But you know what? You got to have the Holy Ghost for yourself.
Exactly.
You got to check up on the Word for yourself.
Amen.
It's like, well, I don't understand what people say. I don't understand what Brother Dale says. It just don't make sense to me. Well, you know what? You need to just stay in the Word for a while. It'll start to make sense to you.
Right.
And brothers, you know, whoever they are, you know, if something's not right, you know what? You stay and you, and I understand people, you know, there's brothers out there, good brothers, fine brothers, whatever. And you know, they may be wrong about something. And you know what? We've all been wrong about something. And you know what? It takes some time. You know, all of a sudden, what? The Lord may show them something that, you know, they're not right. They might.
Amen.
So, you know, I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus or nothing, because you know what? I still want to hold grace out for everybody.
Glory.
But you know what? God will lead you and guide you into all truth. God will speak to you what you need to have and will show you the truth.
Amen.
You know what? I can have confidence in the Word. I can have confidence in what Brother Bram said. I can have confidence in this because, you know, we found people that, you know, they are out trying to tear up what Brother Branham said. Well, Brother Branham wasn't the prophet and he said this and that and the other. And the next thing, you know, now they say, well, this ain't right either.
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, then who is right?
Yeah.
If the Bible isn't right, if the Word isn't right, if Brother Branham was wrong, if everybody's wrong, then you know what? I guess we ought to be following you then.
Right. Yeah.
Then they want to make themselves God. But no, we have a place that God can speak to us and show us what's truth.
Right.
And you know what it takes? It takes getting before God and seeking God.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that's missing in people's lives. People don't accept God, get before God, seek God's face, find out what's truth or not.
Right.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's all stand. But you know, if we can have confidence in God, God can speak to us. He can show us
Amen.
What's truth. Answer our questions. You know, we don't have to be worried or concerned about things. And you know, but that's the age in which we live right now. is times of confusion.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Perilous times will come. It's the time that we live in that people will live in this hour and they're confused and they anxiety and they worry. And you know, people that's walked in the message for years and years and years and now they say, well, I don't know if this is truth or not. After you walk in it for years and years and then they can say, well, Brother Branham wasn't right. It's a terrible thing that people have walked around, but you know what? It's a time of manifesting, and we know that it's a time that there has been a mixed multitude that's walked on, but you know what? Now's the time that it's going to be made manifest of who is who.
Right.
But you know what? I'm not worried about that. You know why? Because I'm going to still stay in that field, and I'm going to gather what God has for me.
Glory.
And I, you know, whether anybody else comes or goes, whatever else they do, that's up to them. But I know where God called me to be. God placed me in the place where I need to be. And I believe that each person ought to have a home church. But you know what? I don't rely on the fivefold ministry to give me everything. It takes me reading and studying and praying. I gotta have my own, experience with God. I gotta have my own time with God.
Amen.
Because it works hand in hand.
Right.
But it takes us all doing that together.
Yeah.
And people are worried about all these type things. Well, you know what? God didn't call me to be worried and concerned and have fear and all these type things. God called me to a place of confidence. And God showed me the word and showed me what was truth. And that's what I've put my confidence in. Amen. God bless you tonight.
Let's sing, He Abides this evening. Amen.
Amen.
139. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see.
And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides in me. He abides, He abides, hallelujah, He abides in me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me.
Once my heart was
full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at His feet, and there came a pace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides in me. Oh, He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides in me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me.
He is with me everywhere, and He knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free.
For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides in me. He abides, He abides, hallelujah, He abides in me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me.
There's no
thirsting for the things of the war. They've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day. All my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides in me. Oh, He abides, He abides. Yes, hallelujah, He abides in me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I plead. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Now by this I'll
overcome. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight as we get ready to go. I had a thought. I know that's amazing. I saw it or something. But anyway, little Zoe Urego has a birthday today. And we forgot. So happy birthday, Zoe, if you're watching. If not, Brother Luis and them can pass the word on to us. But happy birthday. So God bless you tonight. And before we go, yes, sir, brother.
No Bible study Saturday.
No Bible study Saturday. All righty. And I guess, Brother Wade, to let everybody know who's going to be here Sunday.
I'll give everybody a list for Sunday.
All righty. Well, God bless you. If you have a need, certainly you can reach out to us and let us know. We'll be glad to pray for you. We're going to pray all together before we go. And if you're at home, also, you just join in with us tonight and pray as we get ready to go. And let's all bind together.
Amen.
Pray whatever you have need of, because God knows, and we don't have to know those needs, but God knows whatever you have need of, whatever you desire. Then he said, whatever you desire when you pray, believe. So let's just all bow our heads and pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, that we've had this opportunity to gather in your house tonight, Lord. Lord, that we've been able to gather and open up your word, Lord, and read the words of eternal life, Lord Jesus, that we've been able to look to you to see what we can look into the word and gather from it, Lord Jesus, that we can glean from it tonight, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you've called us to a place, Lord, that we can glean in your word, Lord, that you've opened up the word in this hour, Lord, that we can gather and Lord, we can receive what we have need of, Lord, that the words that's been promised in our day, Lord Jesus, we've heard from a prophet in our day, Lord Jesus. We've heard from Christ, Lord Jesus. We've heard from the unfailing body word of the Son of Man, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just commit everything to you, Lord, tonight, Lord, for each one that has a need, Lord, each one that's listening in tonight, Lord, whatever it may be, Lord. I know that you'll come on the scene and touch them, watch over them, keep them as they go through their daily lives, Lord Jesus, as this virus continues to go, Lord. But Lord, many people are walking in anxiety, and Lord, many are sick, Lord, but we know that we just commit it all to you, and Lord, we know that you're the great physician, that you can minister to each one, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as we go, Lord, just watch over us and keep us. And as the ones that come back on Sunday, Lord, we just pray that you bless our brother Dale, Lord, and our brother Wade, Lord, as they come to bring the word, Father, Lord, just give them the words of eternal life. Lord, give them the things that we have need of. Lord, strengthen them in their bodies. Lord, for each one, Lord, the fivefold ministry around the world, Lord, that are, Lord, faithfully laboring in this hour, Lord Jesus, and the conditions and all the things that are facing them, Lord Jesus, I pray that you just be with them. Lord, give them wisdom and strength, Lord, and all the, give them the word that is needful, Lord, for the bride, Lord. Lord, we commit it all to you, Lord, and we're just so thankful, Lord, that we have a place of refuge to go to, Lord, that we can stand, and Lord, we can have confidence in you, Lord, because you called us to that place. We committed all things in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen.